Genesis 15, and we read from verse 7 and 8. I just want to take that scripture out instead of us reading the whole Genesis 15. Genesis 15, verses 7 and 8. Let us read together with a loud and confident voice. One, two, go. Then he said unto me, I am the Lord, who brought you out of the Chaldeans, to give you this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it? Father, breathe upon your word. Amen. Let it benefit us today. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Holy Spirit of God, take over. Amen. Hallelujah. Please be seated. God made a covenant with Abraham before he became Abraham, after the promise he made to him. Let me say this ahead. There is no covenant without a promise. That is to say, a promise and a covenant, they are not the same. God made a promise to Abraham out of his request for a child. Or before he requested for a child. Because in Genesis chapter 12, when God called him out of the earth, the Chaldees, out of his father's house, God already promised that he will bless his descendants. Hallelujah. His descendants are his children. At that time, he had none. Now, in Genesis 15, Abraham was asking God, after Lot was captured, his nephew, Abraham was told, and he went out with over 300 servants of his household that he had trained. They became warriors, and they went to war with many kings. They came back victorious. After they came back, on the way coming back with the spoils of war, Abraham met with Melchizedek, the king of Salem. You know Melchizedek is God, Jesus Christ himself. And the Bible said he gave bread and wine to Abraham. And Abraham paid tithe of all. And then the king of Sodom, of the valley of Sodom, met Abraham because he was one of those kings that was terrified by those four kings too. And said Abraham should give him all the people and he can take the spoils. And Abraham said, I have lifted up my hands to the Almighty God and I will not take anything from you so that you will not say that you are the one that blessed me. Except for the things that my men ate, I give back everything. And the Bible says in Genesis 15 verse 1, after these things, can you show us in the screen? After these things, then God came to Abraham in a vision, a vivid vision, and discussion ensued. And God said, Abraham, don't be afraid. You need to pause and think. Why will God say, don't be afraid? Was he afraid of the appearance that God came in? He wasn't afraid of that. It was not the first time that God will appear to him in a vision. God gave him confidence. You see, when you beat down an enemy that you did not kill, they can come back and retaliate. Amen? Because you need to watch what God said to him. Don't be afraid, Abraham.
The next thing he said, I am your shield. What does that mean? I am your defense. I will defend you from any retaliation. I will defend you from anyone that will rise up against you. What is it that will precipitate God to come in that fashion? It was the tithing of Abraham. He says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Isn't that what he said in Malachi chapter 3? I will rebuke the... God did not say you will rebuke the devourer. God did not tell Abraham you will defend yourself. He said, I will defend you. I'm going to be the one to be your shield. That is to say, if anyone is going to come against you, they will have to pass through me first. And that's what your tithe does. Hallelujah. Because when you are studying scripture, you need to ask questions. I will defend you from anyone who will attack you in case of retaliation. Hallelujah. God said, I will not only defend you, I will reward you. That is to say, I'm not just going to reward you, I'm your rewarder. It's just like saying, God is your God, and God is a God to you. I don't know if you understand that. God is my God, and God is the God to me. That is to say, I don't just see Jesus as my Savior. He's my object of worship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen to me, my brothers and sisters. You need to see God as the God to you. Anything that is God to you is the one you bow down to. Anything, anyone who is God to you is the one you worship. Our tithe qualifies us to be defended and to be blessed by God. Listen to me. Anything, anywhere can be your resource. Only God is the source. Hey, you didn't hear me well. I said only God is the source. Hallelujah. Amen. God alone is the source. I will defend you. After God said all of that, Abraham said, Lord, okay. But I don't have a son. I don't have a child. Look at me. I'm going childless. Look at me. See me so. Look at me. I'm talking about you to people that, hey, this God is great and mighty who told me to leave my father's house. But look at me. I'm going childless. Before this time, two times, at least God has spoken to Abraham that I will bless you and your descendants. He said it in chapter 12, verse 7. Then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your descendants. What else is descendants? To your descendants I will give this land. And the Bible says, there he built an altar. Then God repeated the same thing in Genesis 13. Verse 14 to 18. Like I was sharing with our workers this morning, most of our requests to God is what we want God to do for us and not what we want God to do through us. Let that sink a little bit. God give me, not God do through me. Abraham is asking for a son. And God is looking to bless the world. Give him an heir that will bless the world. Abraham just wanted something to say, you know what? All this is my estate. I can't give it to my servant. I need somebody from my loins. to give this estate. And God is saying, your heir, I want to give him the whole world. I want to give him the whole earth. That's how myopic we are. Is your desire in alignment with the will of God? Anything you are believing God for, God is bringing your way what is bigger, better, greater than what you are believing him for. I shared with our workers this morning, Saul's father, some of his animals were lost. Those were Saul's inheritance. And Saul went out with a servant. And they were looking for those animals. Saul was looking for his inheritance, a few animals. And God was looking for Saul to give him a whole nation. If you stay and pause, that Lord, what's your will for my life? Jesus said, when you pray, ask thy will be done. What's your will for my life? Because desires are always bigger than our requests. God said to the children of Israel, before they allow themselves to be taken into captivity, in Jeremiah 29, I'm laying foundations here. Verse 10 and 11. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years, this is a prophetic declaration. After 70 years are complete at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Their own desires were minuscule compared to the thoughts of God towards them. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future. The future God has in mind is bigger than the future you have in mind. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen to me, church. This is the reason why every day ask God to reveal his plan for your life to you. So that you can walk in his will. I've said it before. What a great thing it will be when every day we plan our lives with the will of God. Somebody say, Father. Come on, come on, say it like you believe it. Father. Reveal your plan for my life to me. Come on, make it a prayer. Pray, 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 pray. Lord, reveal your plan for my life to me. There is no way you are going to receive the plan of God without praying. Reveal the plan you have for my life. Reveal it to me. Continue it and ask God. Reveal the plan you have for my children. Reveal it, oh God, that none of us, we as parents and our children, will not stray from it. Reveal it, oh God. May God give it to you as you have asked in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. To God, giving Abraham a son or a child was a done deal. There was no maybe, woulda, shoulda, coulda in the whole matter. God has already sorted it out. Hallelujah. God has already what? He sorted it out. I'm going to give you a child. Don't worry yourself about it. When that was settled, then God said, the scripture we read together, I am the Lord. Are you doubting me? The reason I brought you out of your father's idolatry house is to give you this place where you are. This place, this land, for you to inherit this land. That land at the time, there were the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Evites, the Perizzites, the Ammonites, and the Jebusites. They were in that land. And God said, I brought you out from where you are to give you this place. Do you know what Father Abraham said? You know, sometimes our humanity needs to be slapped to life. He said, Lord God, okay, you are Lord and God, okay. How will I know? How am I going to know that you are going to give it to me? How am I going to know? How will I know that I'm going to inherit it when some other people are occupying it? How can I get a house without a mortgage? How am I going to know that I can get a house without a mortgage? How am I going to know that I can buy a car without a car note? How am I going to know that I can go to school without a loan? Am I going to know that your word that you spoke to me is really going to come to pass? Am I going to know that the promises you made will happen to me? Am I going to know that those prophetic words are really going to happen? These were the questions Abraham was asking. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What questions are you asking? What are the questions that are in your mind? Think about it. You believe God for your salvation. How many of us are going to make heaven here? Let me see your hand. How did you know? How did you know? Let me ask again. How many of you here are going to make heaven? Raise up your hand. Some people are not raising up their hand. They need to salvation today. Okay, you are raising up. How did you know you are going to make heaven? Thank you, Jesus. You are preaching my word. Because I believe. Okay, if you believe God for salvation, why don't you believe God for blessing? Why don't you believe God for the inheritance? I have believed you for the child because the Bible said, are you ready for this? Let's read Genesis 5, 15, 4 to 7. I'm going somewhere. We're going to learn together. Genesis 15, 4 to 7. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this one that is Eliezer shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. Please help me read the next. And he did what? He believed. And it was counted unto him for what? Righteousness. But he didn't believe that he would inherit the land. He believed for the child. But he didn't believe. The same promise from the same source. Salvation from Christ. Promise of a blessing from Christ. We believe in the salvation, but we don't believe in the prosperity. I believe that he saved me on the cross of Calvary. But I don't believe that he will supply my needs. Whereas the promise is there. I'll do it. I will do it. I will give it to you. How will I know? How am I supposed to know? There's no counter for me. Have I finished my minutes? Well, I have another 45 minutes. Because I don't know how many minutes I've spent now. Hallelujah. So it was after Abraham asked that question, how will I know? Then God was like, okay, I will make a covenant with you. He already promised. Remember what I said earlier? No promise, no covenant. A covenant strengthens the promise. You can pray the promise. You can't pray the covenant. Father, remember what you promised. You can pray that. You can't say, Lord, remember your covenant. No. Covenant doesn't answer to prayer. Covenant answer to obedience. So God made a covenant with Abraham that day. Praise the Lord. The covenant was to reassure him of God's commitment. Let's go to that same Genesis 15. This is where we drive it and drive it home. And I pray that God will give you understanding in the name of Jesus. Genesis 15. After he said, how shall I know that I shall inherit it? Verse 9. And then this is what God said to him. God said to him, take me an ephah of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all this, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece against another in a row. And the birds he divided not. And when the fowls came down, so Abraham laid down the materials for the sacrifice there. Because in those days, when you make a sacrifice, fire from God comes. It consumes it, or the priest will set it on fire. Hallelujah. So Abraham sat down there. He was now driving away the vultures. You know, vultures like dead things. There are vultures who want to consume your sacrifice. Amen? He began to pursue them. And the sun was going down. Time was going. Then he slept off. Because it must have been God who made him sleep. Sleep fell on Abraham. And the Bible says, horror of darkness. That horror of darkness was a picture of the pain and suffering the children of Israel were going to go through in Egypt. Because it was horrific. Slavery at any time is horrific. Racism is horrific. Subjugating another human being is horror. Treating somebody less than a human being is horrific. Speaking negative words to people is horrific. Treating people wrongly is horrific. And he said unto Abraham, know of a surety. Now God came in the midst of the sacrifice and said, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Can somebody come to you and tell you the future of your children is like this? This man is asking God for a child. And God is saying, those descendants, these are what they are going to go through. Maybe he wanted to change his mind then that, don't worry. Because sometimes, if God should show you what you are going to go through to get to the place of your blessing, you will say, hold the blessing. I don't need it. Because, you see, God is so gracious, he will show you the end. He'll show you the beautiful picture, but he won't show you what you are going to go through to get there. How many valleys, rains, stoning, spitting, mockery that you are going to go through before you get there. But he expects you to hold on. Hallelujah. He expects you to hold on. I know the promise God gave me concerning this church. And where we are today doesn't even look like it. Hallelujah. Even people in this church are mocking. Think I don't know. But you know what I know? Mockery is good. Because if they don't mock you, God can make you. Yeah. It's true, the mockery that God is going to make you. Those who have mocked you are going to come and celebrate with you. The man that stood on the king's arm said, except God opens the window of heaven, will there be enough to eat tomorrow? The Bible said, the man of God said, you will see it, but you won't taste of it. Praise the Lord. I keep telling us, church, listen to this, please, 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 please. I came here because God said I should come, not because I wanted to. Praise the Lord. If I look at the behavior of church people, I will have left. But I believe God. I'm going to hold on. I'm going to hold on to the very end. If we are going to sink, myself and God, we will sink together. If we are going to soar and fly, we will fly together. And I know we are going to fly together. Esther said, if I perish, she never perish. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Let me tell you something. There is no man of God, there is no woman of God that comes to this church that I will ever tell them what to preach. Even my own wife that we live in the same house, I will never tell her what to preach. The times you have preached, have I ever told you what to preach? Did I give you a title? If you are in the spirit, you connect with the spirit of the house. Praise the Lord. Yeah. The day one person came here and was talking about one nonsense about Lucifer is not the devil. You know what we did? We took the microphone from him. And we closed the service. Praise the Lord. I fear nobody. Amen. Let me tell you something again. Ma, when I greet you, and honor you, I'm just using example. I'm not doing it to get anything from you. Do you understand me? Huh? I'm just being the person God made me to be. Praise the Lord. Huh? That's just it. That's just it. Verse 14 says, and also that nation whom they shall serve by force, I will judge. And afterward, you see, time may seem to be going. Lord, are you not going to do something? Lord, look at what you are. You not going to do something? Oh, don't worry. He will do it. You stay right. And God will always show himself right. Hallelujah. He said, also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterward they shall come out with great substance. We know the story. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. He says, But after you are gone, you see, if God gives you a land, you build a house for your family, you plant a mango tree, and the mango seeds, you are enjoying it. After you are gone, the mango tree will still keep on doing what? Producing for your family. But in the fourth generation, they shall come hither again. They are coming back here, in this place where you are. For the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it shall come to pass, when the sun went down, and it came to pass rather, that when the sun went down, it was dark. Behold, and this is how it happened. A smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. In the same day. Everybody say in the same day. The Lord made a covenant with Abraham. Abraham can't pray to inherit that land anymore. He can only keep on believing God and keep on obeying God. Covenant responds only to obedience. Hallelujah. And the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto thy seed, watch this. Ooh. Prior to here, twice, God says, I will give. But here he says, I have given. That's what the covenant does. Covenants deliver it even when you have not seen it. Hello? Come on. Don't worry. The altar will not swallow you. What do you do? Huh? Breeder. You braid. Okay. She's a braider. I'm a preacher. And I pray for people. Now, if we cut a covenant together, watch this. That is to say, I will always pray for your family. But when my daughter needs her hair to be braided, you will braid her hair. Huh? This is my side. Stand, face me. And that's your side, right? Come over to my side. And I too, I come over to her side. We have cut a covenant. So anytime she needs prayer, all she needs to do is what? Ask. I can't say, she can't labor in that place. When my daughter needs her hair to be braided, all she needs to do is what? Go to her. She can't question, why are you here now? We have a covenant. We have a contract. The covenant is a contract. It's an unbreakable contract. Do you understand? If you make a contract with any human being, especially in this land, if you want to break that contract, you violate something. God makes a covenant. Thank you. God bless. God makes a covenant with us. He cannot come out of it. That is why the same covenant he made with Abraham is affecting you and I today. The Bible says Abraham's blessings might do what? Come upon the Gentile. So he says, do what? Do the works of Abraham. Obedience, not prayer. Did somebody get something here? When you get married, marriage is what? A covenant. Any man that begs his wife for sex, there's a problem in that marriage. Did you hear me? Begging? No. Your body is mine. Mine is yours. That's what the Bible says. And they too shall what? Become one. So let me bring in $200 million to the house. Who owns it?
My wife and I.
My wife and I. We both have access to it. Let her bring $1 billion. You see, we human beings, we think we are smart. We act as if we are working according to God's covenant, but we are not. I marry you, but you can't touch my money. Satan is sitting there. He's sitting there. We've talked about this before. Oh, if I let my wife have access to our account, she will spend all the money. Finish it. We will suffer together. If we can't pay our house bill and they cut off the light, we will sell your clothes. Because whatever you use the money to buy, we will go and return it back. Those clothes you have in your wardrobe that still have the tag, go and return it. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Because I can't be saying to my wife, I trust you, I love you, but there's an injunction, you can't touch my money. No. We sit down, we come to an understanding. We discuss. You can do this. You and I, we can do this, but if we have to do that, let's talk about it. That's still part of the covenant. Praise the Lord. He says, I've given it to you. You are standing there, but others are occupying it, but it is yours. Does God have authority to do that? He does. Why? He owns it. He owns it. He owns it. You see, all those ites, they are like spirits that we're going to deal with. I'm just laying a foundation. Praise the Lord. Is somebody getting something? Come on. Are you getting something? So a covenant is not a promise. It's a contract based on the promise. So it binds both of you. That's why, watch what God said in Psalm 89, verse 34 to 37. My covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips. Once I have sworn by my holiness, any covenant God cuts with anybody, he swears by himself. I will not lie to David, to Carl, to you. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. Watch this. It shall be established forever like the moon, even like the faithful witness in the sky. What is the faithful witness in the sky? The faithful witness in the sky. Can be found in Genesis chapter 9. After Noah came down from the ark, he laid a sacrifice, built an altar before God. And God said in his heart, because you have done this, as long as the earth remains, seed time, everything is in the seed. Harvest, cold, heat. He says, chances, he shall not cease. Then he flipped it and said, as long as you see the rainbow in the sky, it tells you That's the token of my covenant. He says, I will no longer destroy the earth by water. Each time you see the rainbow, science can tell you whatever it is. But God said, it's a token. Let me show you, in case you don't know it's there. Thank you very much. Genesis 9:13. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Did you see that? Can God lie? Doesn't lie. Praise the Lord. So if anybody tomorrow says, oh, they got a revelation that the earth is going to be destroyed on Monday, tell them they are lying. Tell them they are lying. Because Jesus has to come first. The rapture has to take place first. That one nobody knows. The trump of God shall sound. The dead in Christ shall rise. Those of us who are alive shall be caught up. Those who are not in Christ, it can happen in church. It can happen in church. If the rapture happens in church, and I'm gone while I'm preaching, you wonder, what happened to me? Lord Jesus! At that time, it's too late. I said my own. Say your own. One morning, I woke up. Like I used to. I went to my children's room. One of them was not on the bed. This was before 5 a.m. All the air on my body stood. I'm like, has the rapture taking place? Tammy is not on that. Where is Tammy? Has the rapture? Then I stood and said, but Toby is there. He can't miss the rapture. Tammy! Tammy! Yes, Dad, I'm in the bathroom. Okay. You will not miss it. Amen. I say you will not miss it. Amen. Look at Jeremiah 33, verse 19 to 22. And the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, thus saith the Lord, if you can break my covenant with the day, that is to say, it will not dawn. That is to say, there will be no day. If you can stop the day from dawning, say then you can break my covenant. And you know that's not possible. No matter the power anybody has. Hallelujah. He says, if you can break my covenant with the day and my covenant with the night, so that there will be no day and night in their season, then my covenant may also be broken with David, my servant, with Carl, my servant, so that he shall not have a son to reign on this throne, and with the Levites, the priests, my ministers, as the host of heaven cannot be numbered, nor the sand of the sea measured. So I multiply the descendants of David, my servant, and the Levites who minister to him. That is still happening till date. I am part of that Levite. Praise the Lord. Covenants don't answer to prayer. They answer to obedience. On that same day, God made a covenant with Abraham that he will inherit the land, even though the Hittites, the song we sang, that I'm not a slave to sin, I'm not a slave to fear. We're going to sing it again next week, because one of those spirits of that land has to do with that. And when we begin to talk about these things, you'll be able to identify some of them in your life. And then you can strategically pray against them. Some of those nations turned. They became part of Israel. Hallelujah. Like the Canaanites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites. Amen.
the Rephaim mentioned there, these were giants. If I have to talk about overcoming your giants, I will preach from now till the end of August. There are spirits that can hold you back. Hallelujah. God said, don't worry about them. I'll drive them out. So that when you come, you can walk, you have strength to overcome them. I will weaken them so that you have strength to overcome them. I want you to rise on your feet. First and foremost, doubt is an enemy to the manifestation of the promise of God concerning your life. Doubt. Abraham is called the father of faith. He doubted many times, but he always came back to trust God. In what area of your life are you doubting God? Are you still doubting your salvation? If you are not doubting your salvation, then you can't doubt God for any other thing. You can only stand firm and obey Him. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, from verse 10 downwards, He said, having done all to stand, stand therefore. Ask the Lord this morning to give you grace to stand true to the word of God for your life.